I'm looking. There's, oh, recording in progress. Got it. I have to click the got it button. Thank you for having me speak tonight. I'm looking at our participants list as it's growing. 154 souls on the meeting tonight. Welcome to all the newcomers. Welcome to anyone who's feeling like a newcomer. Okay, because we only have a daily reprieve. Am I right? Okay, even amongst our recovered members in the room tonight. So the message is for all of us. I like to kick things off. I stay grounded in the book. I go to the OG, right? This big book, this magic big book. I'm going to kick it off with page 14. This is from Bill's story. Simple, but not easy. A price had to be paid. That's a must, okay? It had to be paid. It meant the destruction of self-centeredness. All of us, right? Self-centered. We must turn all things. How about that one? All things, right? Not just the drinking, okay? We're here to wake each other up. I must turn all things over to the light, capital L, that divine light that presides over us all. These were revolutionary, okay? Revolutionary and drastic, okay? Radical proposals. But the moment I fully accepted them, the effect was electric, okay? I don't know many of you personally, but I know you. Okay, if you're like me, if you're an alcoholic like me, you like electric, right? We're party people. We like that electricity. And I love how the book, you know, it bookends all the time. There's a bit in A Vision for You where it talks about these meetings and how they should go, right? Effective conditions that we set aside this time. It should be a place where newcomers can bring their problems. The atmosphere should be electric, stimulating, and all the recovered members in the room should be constantly thinking about how we can present our discovery to the newcomer. All right. It's all in the book, baby. My name is Bianca. I'll do the intro. My name is Bianca. I am a gratefully recovered alcoholic of the hopeless variety, living free today and working with others. I'm going to take us to page 51. Leaving aside the drink question. Wow. Okay. Leaving aside the drink question. They tell, who's they? That's the recovered alcoholics, right? They tell why living was so unsatisfactory. Okay. They show how the change came over them. So if you were tuning in tonight for a drunk log from Bianca R, you're not going to get it. Okay. Go call some other sicko. All right. I'm here to share the solution to carry this message, which is a program of action. It's a program of living. Yeah. I love that we read our third tradition, that the only requirement for membership, right? Maybe the thing that brought you in here was that desire to stop a certain behavior, right? But the thing that keeps us here, keeps us alive, okay, and really living, vital, with that electricity and the power, capital P. The capitals. I'm a nerd with the book, right? When they capitalize a letter, it's to honor the divinity in that thing. All right, the higher power in that thing. So, the capital P, power. If you want power, if you want capital F, freedom, the thing that keeps us here and keeps us going is not just stopping, but starting to live this program of action. The spiritual life is not a theory. It must be lived. So here we go, leaving aside the drink question, because the bottle is but a symptom. Why was living so unsatisfactory for this hopeless alcoholic named Bianca? Step one, okay, I had to admit that I was utterly, utterly powerless powerless and my life was unmanageable. Okay, I identify as that hopeless variety type that they talk about in the book. You're going to find that on page 21 to 25 in the chapter, There is a Solution. This is the type of person, right, suffering from alcoholism, that when they want to stop and they know they need to stop, they wish, they try, they cannot stop on their own power alone. Right? Our willpower and our human resources and all the human aids failed us utterly. And we are 100% hopeless apart from divine help. And the access to that divine help is what we find in these 12 steps. That's exactly what this book is about. Okay? That's exactly what this book is about. It's to enable you to find a power, capital P, greater than yourself, that will solve your problem. That's on page 45. Okay. I love that quote because it says problem, singular, not problems, right? Although we see that in the book a lot, you know, problems, we'll see it, you know, there's plural problems, but on 45, it tells us that all of us in this room tonight, we have one problem, that is lack of power. Lack of power. So untreated. And I lived this way for nearly 30 years of my life. I could find myself on any given day in an untreated thought pattern. And right. Even no defense. We talk about no defense against the first drink, but how about no defense against the first think? Yes. The first think. I come from my home fellowship is a big book sponsorship group for all addictions. We replace drinking with thinking. Okay. So that first thought, right? The crux of the problem, it all centers in our mind, my fellows. Okay. So we got to get a defense. Okay. Against that first thought, which we don't have in a step one experience, right? We don't have in that hopeless state of mind and body. I don't have a defense. Where I get my defense is steps 2 through 12 is the toolkit that I pick up, right? When there's nothing left, I have tried it all. There is nothing left for me, but to pick up the simple kit of spiritual tools laid at my feet. Why was living so unsatisfactory? Untreated. I am hopelessly obsessed. Hopelessly obsessed. Consumed with fixing. Managing, controlling, escaping, explaining, analyzing, figuring things out. I am filled with fear, filled with resentment, anger, rage, irresponsibility, impatience. That's my favorite. Urgency. I need it now. I need it now. I need it now. Which could come up even today, right? My self-will gets a new costume in recovery. It's the costume of the spiritual recovered woman. Okay. Some recovered alcoholics on the channel tonight, you know what I'm talking about, right? Sobriety time means nothing for all of us, right? Daily reprieve. So my self-will can dress up as this spiritual recovered woman who's doing all my things that one needs to do in their recovery. And then I get a little irked, right? Because God is not delivering on to me what I demand. And what all my work should be producing, right? That urgency shows up. That's why these defects of character are so important for us to identify and to watch through all seasons of our recovery, because they'll show up in different ways, subtle foes, right? Real sneaky. So I'm hopelessly obsessed with escaping reality. At the core of every alcoholic is a fantasy addict. Okay, that if I only pick up this thing, right, I will, you know, it's amateur hour in my experience to go into all the fantasies about how the world should run and how you should act and all that. How about the fantasy of my identity? That's the real one. You know, if I do this thing, if I pick up this thing, Okay. I'm going to become blank, right? Or my world were transformed. I'm just utterly consumed with the fantasy that when I pick up, this will happen, right? And it never does. And when it does, it's never enough. It's never enough. It's never enough, right? We're all addicted to more. We have that phenomenon of craving, right? You might be in that withdrawal from the drink right now. If you're new, we understand that. Okay. But if you're feeling like a newcomer and haven't picked up a drink in quite some time, we know that phenomenon of craving is still with us. We got the drugstore up here, adrenaline, serotonin, okay, dopamine. It's all here. Okay. And nothing's ever enough for us when we are untreated, right? When we're spiritually unfit. I was, anyone identify with this one? Why living is so unsatisfactory? My ego shot through the roof. Through the roof. My arrogance is all the way up there. I'm a recovery kid. Okay. I grew up in recovery. I know these rooms. I knew the slogans. I knew the prayers. I knew a little bit of the book. If there's recovered parents on here, and thank God, God has gifted me. I'm not yet a mother, but I've sponsored a lot of recovering mothers so that we could teach each other, right? Isn't that how it works? We could teach each other how to be more loving, how to be more honest, how to be more grateful. Right. And untreated, I was, my ego was through the roof. At one point I was so delusional. I thought I could like run a treatment center or something. All the while I'm out there. Okay. Acting out crazy, not working the steps, bouncing in and out of the rooms. Jeremiah asked me for my sober date, you know, sobriety time. We got a daily reprieve. But if you're a newcomer and that sends hope to you, my official sobriety date is June 25th, 2019. That's the date of that true step three decision. And that came after about 10 years, half-assing, half-measuring, dipping in and out, ego through the roof, thought I could do it my way until I couldn't, right? And I had a step one experience, very powerful. That is always ongoing. We need a step one experience every day. But my powerlessness and unmanageability was, I was in the gutter. I was physically, I usually use a different word here, but I'm gonna try to keep it clean tonight. I was physically wrecked. Okay. Physically wrecked. My mind was mush. Okay. To the point that like my own name sounded strange to me. And I'd love to tell you that that was enough, but it was the spiritual death that I was experiencing that really, really woke me up, because not everybody in this room has come as close to physical death as I have. Many of you have gone even further. Right there. I'm sure there's some people out of all y'all on tonight. Now it's 181 souls on. You know, some of us have gotten real close. Some of us have even been brought back. Okay. From that threshold of physical death. Okay. That all varies. But I know that everyone on tonight has experienced that taste of spiritual death. And that is the true terror. There's a line in the back of the book, one of the personal stories. It's called Empty on the Inside. That fellow's journey really parallels my own in many ways. On page 518, she says that most people get sober because they're afraid to die. But I knew I would live. And that was far more terrifying. I had surrendered. Just taking a pause here for that one. So admitting that I was utterly powerless, that I was beyond human aid, right? I had tried all the human aids, all the human systems, right? To moderate, to stop, to change, right? I needed a divine source. And when I was approached, right? Recovered alcoholics, hello, we make the approach. That's what the book says. When therefore I was approached by those in whom the problem had been solved, right? I love that. It doesn't say by whom, you know, those who figured it out, you know, because they studied enough or they know their book enough or they did all the things. No, those in whom, it's an inside job. Those in whom the problem had been solved, there was nothing left. There was nothing left for me but to pick up that simple kit of spiritual tools that was laid at my feet. The tools of 2 through 12 that are going to give me that defense against the first that I never had before. And I had to, and I have to, right, daily hit that threshold, even in a half a thought. If you know what I'm talking about, you know, right? If you know, you know. In a half a thought, I could hit that threshold of powerlessness and unmanageability to double down on that third, that first step admission, right? That I am powerless, I am unmanageable, I am indeed an alcoholic, that no human power could relieve me. I need divine help. There is a power. Yes, step two, that can restore me. And I'm going to turn all things, not just the bottle, all things over to that power, capital P, that presides over us all. Yeah. Step two, I'm just going to ground myself in the steps tonight because it's such a long share. Step two, came to believe this is a journey. This is a journey that is ongoing, ever evolving. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, right? All we need is that willingness, right? That maybe I'm not God. Maybe, I guess, right? That's enough. Do I believe or am I even willing to believe that there's a power greater? For me, that power greater in the beginning was simply divine timing. The sequence of events. You couldn't write this shit. You know? Like, wow. Just wow. The miracle that I was even alive to come to a place where I could even consider a step two experience. It's miracles here. Most people don't make it. It's our duty today. If you made it, if you're alive tonight, no matter where you're at in your journey, it's our duty, okay, to live with enthusiasm, curiosity, love, tolerance, honesty, patience, humor, and carry this message. Okay, so not only, right, does this power exist? Right? I was willing to believe that. But how about the second part of step two? Could restore us to sanity? Could restore Bianca? A psychotic woman, okay? To sanity. That one, I really needed some evidence for that. Could? Was big enough, capable enough, had the power to restore me to sanity? Also, to when? I always share where I balked, right? And I love that we read how it works at the opening of this meeting, right? At some of these, we balked, right? We got to be real. Newcomers, if you're on and balking, I balked. And that's okay, because God was in it all, right? To when? When was I ever sane? You know, I really needed a new life. Okay, a new life. And what I've come to believe in my step two journey that is ever evolving is that this restoration is not to some former part of my life, right? There's no time machine. That's fantasy land. Okay. But this restoration is to my true nature. It's to that spirit, that divinity within my highest self, my spirit self that is one with this creator. Spirit of the universe, great reality, broad highway, mighty purpose and rhythm. That's my restoration to spiritual fitness and alignment with that power. That's that. Because lack of power was my dilemma. Singular, one problem, lack of power. And that step two experience is, it truly is ongoing. Step two is very alive in my recovery today. I've got a lot of evidence that this power greater than myself can carry me through and restore me to a sane, neutral, loving space, physically, mentally, spiritually. And then you know what happens? Certain trials and low spots. That's page 15. Certain trials and low spots. Not, well, maybe. No, certain. There's going to be trials and low spots. There's challenges. There's spiritual workouts. Life keeps on lifing. It keeps on lifing. Death, destruction, disease, insanity, the world, other people, defects of character arising, blasts from the past coming into my life. Life keeps on lifing, and my God needs to grow, needs to get more big, more capable of restoration to sanity. And that truly is a process, not a singular event. I'm grateful and curious about my step two journey and coming to believe. Step three, that I turn my life. Okay, my will and my life, my will, that's my thinking. Okay, my whole thought life, my will and my life, that's my actions, right? Thinking and actions over to the care of God as I understand, as I experience this power that is God. Step three doesn't happen on the page for this alcoholic named Bianca. Okay, I know my book. I know my book. I could do all the check marks. I could circle all the yeses, right? I could read my third step prayer. It really happens in those moments, right? When that ABC that we talk about on page 60, that I'm really in the honesty of that A, B, and C, that I am an alcoholic and I cannot manage my life, that no human power could relieve me of my alcoholism, and that God could and would if it were sought, right? When I hit that threshold of unmanageability in my thought life, in my action life, and there's nothing left for me but to turn to that divine help, that is my third step decision. And I love the third step prayer. I guess I could take us to that on page 63, right? I offer myself to thee to build with me. Okay, there's a conscious companionship here with me, and to do with me as thou wilt, relieve me of this bondage of self, which I didn't fully understand until a thorough and fearless moral inventory of a fourth step, but we'll get there. Bondage of self, that I might better do thy will. That's the divine purpose. Not just relieve me of the bondage of self so I could feel better right now. Right? Take away my difficulties. There's no period there. Again, just take away my difficulties because it would be better for me. No, there's my selfishness. Take away my difficulties. Here's the divine purpose, so that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help. Service, shout out to service, through of thy power, thy love, thy way of life. And if you're on page 63, you'll notice that they capitalize power, capitalize love, capitalize way of life, right? There's a divinity in all those things. If you got a problem with the God word, how about capital L love, capital L light, capital W way of living? Yes. And the next paragraph is where I just really want to hit it tonight. It says, it's better to meet God alone than with one who might misunderstand. The wording was, of course, quite optional. You know, I have a step three practice. Many of us do. We have a shared language of a step three prayer. But it's really in those moments that I'm alone with God, and the wording is optional. You know, I turn all things over to you. I cannot do this I need help, right? I'm suffering from an illness, which only a spiritual experience can conquer, an entire psychic change, right? It's not about just putting down the drink. It's a change in thought life. New pair of glasses, right? Wording is quite optional so long as we express the idea, voicing it without reservation. Without reservation. And next we launch out on a course of vigorous action, right? Because this relief that comes in a step three decision, you know, whether it's that big one that you're thinking about, right? When you came in and it was the big one, you know, or it's that daily practice of step three ongoing. It could have little permanent effect, very little, unless at once followed, right? Now I'm losing my words, right? At once followed by a strenuous effort. Yeah, it's work, right? This path to power is uphill all the way. A strenuous effort to face and to be rid of the things in us, right? Defects of character, the things in ourselves which had been blocking us. Our liquor was but a symptom. So we had to get down to causes and conditions, right? Step four, I made a searching and fearless moral inventory of myself, right? Not the rest of the world, myself. Step four, you know, which is ongoing. Hello, 10th step. Shout out to 10th step, right? My first cycle through the steps and my fourth step really, really woke my ass up to the stories, to all the stories that I told myself. Thank you, hands halfway. Melissa is my timekeeper tonight. If y'all are just listening in, waving her hands, that's my halfway mark. Yeah, it woke me up to the stories that I told myself about myself, right? My alcoholic life seemed the only normal one, right? My identity, all these things that I was filled with resentment. I thought my defects of character were like part of my personality. You know, y'all don't know me. I needed this to survive. Okay. I was a real brat. And in a thorough and fearless, searching, honest, moral inventory of myself, I could really wake up to the ways in which these things that I thought were me were absolutely blocking me from that freedom, from that power that I sought. It was wild. It was wild. Resentment is the number one offender. Talk about drastic proposals, radical statements in this amazing book, right? Resentment is the number one offender. It kills more alcoholics than anything else. That's a radical statement. Anything else? You mean more than drinking? More than drinking. Resentment is the number one offender than anything else, okay? Because it all starts. That's where it starts, centers in our mind. My resentments, that's lethal. Because that's what happens before I pick up anything, is the resentment. And for many years, half-assing this work, I wallowed in victimhood. I'm coming in with the radical message tonight. Heads up, my friends. Victims do not recover. Okay? Victims do not recover. I wallowed in my victimhood. I even rolled around in rooms that celebrated my victimhood, commiserated in column two, if you know your format of your fourth step, column two of the fourth step, and all the ways that we were wronged, right? We were wronged And we had no part in it. And we didn't deserve that. Okay, I had to get with some truly, you know, radical, recovered, free people. Okay, in this fellowship, in the 12-step, in the 12-step world, right? Who could bring me right to page 62. That selfishness and self-centeredness is the root of my trouble. I'm driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, self-pity. I step on the toes of my fellows. They retaliate. Sometimes they hurt me. Sometimes that does happen, right? Sometimes they hurt me, seemingly without provocation. I didn't do anything to deserve that, right? Delusional. But we invariably find, that's like always no exception. That's what I have written in my book. Always, no exception. Invariably find that at some time in the past, I made decisions based on self that later placed me in this position to be hurt. Okay, to be angry, to be confused, to be sad, to be enraged, to be in victimhood and martyrdom. I did that. I had to discover what was really blocking me from freedom. And I had to, you know, accept this drastic proposal that above everything, there's another radical one on page 62, above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of this selfishness. We must, or it kills us. That's what kills us. Selfishness, resentment, right? And am I not even a self-seeker when I'm trying to be kind? Hello, codependency, right? I'm arranging everything. I'm managing everything. I'm trying to be kind. A thorough and honest fourth step will show me. It shows me very clear, black and white, very simple. Okay, my grosser handicaps, the big ones that are blocking me. I had to quit playing God. It didn't work. And I know I'm chatting. If you know your book, I'm chatting a little bit about, you know, our step three section and how it works as I'm talking about the fourth step. But the truth of my experience is that through the process of my fourth and fifth step, and always through a four and five, I get better acquainted with what the bondage of self is, what that bondage of self that I'm praying to be relieved of in step three, what does that look like for Bianca? What does Bianca look like in the bondage of self? So I get an invitation back to step three through all the steps that come after three. That's my experience. You know, step five, oh my God, untreated. I took all my resentments, fears, and harms to myself and others to all the wrong people. I'm such a stickler today about the instructions for fifth step, right? Who the hell are we talking to about this stuff? It tells us that we need to choose the right person. Okay. The properly appointed authority whose duty it is to receive it. That implies like an honor that they know it's their job, that they're spiritually fit to receive such things. Untreated, I would take resentments, fears, harms, any talk about that stuff outside these rooms. I was so nuts. I'd take it on a first date. I would take that stuff to a child. I would take that. I mean, come on now. Crazy, untreated alcoholism. I know today that these fifth step instructions really matter. They really matter to keep me sane and in the solution, right? I have to speak to somebody who understands yet will be unaffected. That's what it says, right? Understand what? Understand my status as an alcoholic of the hopeless variety, okay? Beyond human aid, that they have to approve and approve and understand what we are driving at, that they will not try to change our plan. It says, what's that plan? Well, it's step five. I always have to remember that. right? But the plan of step five is step five, as it's outlined, admitting to God, to ourselves and another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Okay, so I'm not going and talking to all the sickos, and I know who to call everybody, and y'all know who to call, right? We could just sit and call them two together, you know, take everybody else's inventory, you know, oh, sweetie, you have no part in that. Oh, let's just commiserate, sit in the you know what together, right? Sit in the mud together, stay sick, right? I need to talk to people who aren't going to change the plan of what step five is, right? For me to get to admit the exact nature of my wrongs, get to the causes and conditions, right? My defects of character and how they are showing up, right? In holding on to this resentment, in holding on to this fear, in my harmful conduct. I really have to choose the right person. And as sponsors, right? And as fellows, we have to understand yet be unaffected. So that means I got to work a rigorous program. So there's nothing that a sponsee is going to tell me that I'm going to like lose sleep at night. I'm not going to be emotionally dysregulated from what I hear in a fifth, right? I have to understand yet be unaffected. There's so much in there. I could probably talk a whole hour on step five instructions. I love it. It'll circle back around for step 10. Right? And I'm discussing the exact nature of my wrongs here. Because this alcoholic could slip real easy into the exact details, right? But it doesn't say details. It says exact nature of my wrongs, right? The nature of our defects, right? Not the minutiae of what happened. Well, my mom said this. Well, I saw this on the news. You know, well, my partner did this. My kid did this. And blah, 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 blah. You got to understand. No. The context of this and the circumstance and all that craziness. It's very simple. I have to keep it very simple, right? I'm here to share my experience, strength, and hope tonight. I have to keep it simple. The exact nature of my wrongs. If you look up the word nature, it means the inherent feature or characteristic of a thing, right? Of my conduct, of my thinking and my actions. It's my personal inventory, right? How am I identifying and admitting to my false pride, to my arrogance, to my self-loathing, to my prejudice, to my distrust in God, jealousy, suspicion, envy, my selfishness, my self-seeking, my dishonesty, stealing, lying, exaggerating, intolerance, inconsideration, my greed, my lust, infidelity, sloth, laziness, procrastination, hate, anger, resentment, rage, my impatience and urgency, my fear of whatever your core fear inventory is, insert it, right? My irresponsibility, my martyrdom, my victimhood, my codependency, my immoral thinking, my gossip, my slander, my defiance, my resistance. That's what I'm identifying. That's what's blocking me. That's the exact nature of all my wrongs. All my wrongs. That's my inventory right there without the details, just the depth and weight of it. I'm sure a lot of you can relate. And in step six, I am entirely ready. I'm entirely ready to have God remove from me all these defects of character. Okay. No human aids. Remember, not my sponsor, not my therapist, not my partner, not my family, not my dog, not my self-help books or my positive affirmations, right? That divinity within, that power that no one among us can fully understand or fully define, but that we're having this evolving experience with. Am I entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character? All the things that I have now admitted are objectionable. Have I truly admitted they're objectionable? I always have to ask myself, like, you know? And if I still cling to something, if I still cling to it, or if it's still clinging to me, I gotta pray for the willingness. We must pray for the willingness, right? Because we can't let go. If you're an alcoholic like me, we can't let go. We don't have the power. on our own to let go. We need to be let go of. We need that connection with the divine power, that these things are going to fall from us, right? I love the language of many promises in the book, right? Step five promises that our fears fall from us. It doesn't say, we've figured them out and can write a whole book on them. Although many of us probably could, right? Crazy thinkers in the room, right? We've analyzed it to shit. And now we don't have it anymore. No, it says that our fears fall from us as we walk hand in hand with this power, the sunlight of the spirit of the universe, that they fall from us. There's so much of that language in the book. I don't want to skip ahead too far. You know, step nine promises self-seeking will slip away, right? I see the hands. Thank you. Right now in step seven, practice, right? Which is always ongoing, needs to be ongoing. That I'm humbly asking this power to remove my shortcomings, remove that which is blocking me. I want to go to 76 and maybe chat through this prayer. Right? My creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me. Good and bad, right? That's light and dark. That's all the things that I'm asleep to still, right? We're all growing, more will be revealed. All the things that I'm awake to, all of it, all of me. I pray that you now remove from me, every single defect of character, which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Sometimes I get that defect of impatience, right? Why is this defect of character keep arising in me? This might be a radical one, but I'm here to, you know, share the raw truth of my experience tonight. You know, I have to believe that God is everything. That's on page 53, right? God is everything or God is nothing. What is your choice to be? I choose to believe that God is everything. You know, if there is something that is still clinging to me, if there is a defect of character that is presenting over and over again, I have to believe and know that there's a divine purpose. There must be a divine purpose, right? Because God will remove from me all that which is standing in the way of my usefulness right now, in this moment. Divine timing, have to keep bringing that in. Step three, step seven. Right? We turn it over and then we want it now. Okay. The care of God includes divine timing. I have to remember this. And when I don't remember, this is so wonderful because God is everything. When I don't remember that, and the times that I'm not going to any length, guess who is going to any length? God, always going to any length to wake me up, going to any length to remind me that this is that Bianca's timeline, Bianca's little plans and designs, out the window, okay? The care of God includes the divine timing, all right? I forfeit my timing today. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen, right? As I go out from here to do your bidding. You know, there was a time in my recovery, I'm telling you, I would sob, rock in my bed, you know, seventh step prayer 100 times, okay? Just, you know, wondering, why am I not relieved? Why aren't these things being removed from me? You know, today I understand that strength and that removal is given to me as I go out from here to do God's bidding. It often comes, you know, let's say my defect of distrust in God and divine timing. That might not be removed, you know, even in all my earnestness of prayer. How that is removed from me is God will present an opportunity for me to practice trust in God and divine timing through demonstration of my actions, you know, through the discipline of, you know, thought life and prayer and meditation that I'm that is how it is removed. It's removed as I go out from here to do God's bidding. I'm on a kick with this lately. You know, I'm still obsessive. Okay. I just got like, I could obsess about this today. So it's all good. And if you're listening, I'm just referencing my book in front of me. That's what I'm obsessing about. Okay. Get on these little kicks. Step 8 and 9. Okay. I'm looking at the time. Let's just go through them real quick. Step 8 and 9, I'm mapping it out in 8. I become willing to make amends to them all. I look at all the things I need to make amends for. You know, again, it's amateur hour for me to just look at harm's inventory of individuals, right? Which I absolutely need to do. But I also come to this place where amends is owed for all my resentments, the true fatal and lethal thing in us all, right? How does one, here's an example. I'm really letting it rip tonight. How do I make amends? Right. I've already discovered in my inventory that my resentments are futile, fatal, destructive. Right. How do I make amends to all men? Okay. That was on my inventory. Right. All men, my resentment against men. How does one do that? Right. Am I supposed to call up every man on earth? Right. All age group, you know, like, what am I supposed to do here? Right. I had to come to a place where I know today that my step nine is really lived. Right. Of course, we make direct amends, except when to do so would injure them or others. Right. And I could probably talk an hour on that and all those instructions. But, you know, in that prayer and meditation with God, in consultation with my fellows, and really asking for that willingness in step 8 to make amends for harmful conduct. Right? These are like, it's about demonstration of spiritual principles. You know, God instructed me to be of service to men, be of service to men in these rooms, to sponsor men, to outreach with men, to listen to men when they share, to the God of my ever evolving experience is a roast master, very funny. All of my close girlfriends in my life, they all have sons. So here I am getting to spend quality time with young boys in their formative years, really watching them grow, being there for them. I'm telling you these things and many more actions, demonstrations of spiritual principles that God has directed me to do in a step 9 practice has relieved me of my resentment against men. Okay. It's a beautiful world. I don't even know why God had me bring that up tonight on a recorded share, but you know, whatever. Step 10, 11, and 12. Here we are coming to the end. 10, 11, and 12. This is it. This is where we live. This is where we live. And these are the promises that I want. Okay. This is the description of the recovered alcoholic. Okay. Is that we have ceased fighting anything or anyone. I'm bouncing around, right? The problem has been removed. It doesn't exist for us. We're not white knuckling. We've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. Remember that ego shot through the roof? How about the self-loathing, right? In the gutter, that type of thinking, right? That fearful, small type of thinking that I am inherently defective on a soul level. That's why I had to act big, right? Because I felt small. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. We don't have to be big anymore. We don't have to be small anymore. We could stand on our feet in neutrality. Okay. Restoration of sanity. Step 2, promise fulfilled in a step 10 practice. Step 11, promises I love, do not tire so easily. Right? When we're doing God's will, we got energy. We got a fire in us. Okay, we got that freedom. We got that spark. We got the electricity. And step 12, come on, this is what it's all about. Life taking on new meaning, to watch people recover, to watch them help others, to have bright spots in our life, to be the miracle, to watch the miracle. Sponsorship is where it's at. Carrying the message is where it's at. My home fellowship, come check us out. We sponsor sponsors, right? Right from the beginning, we know we got to carry this message. It's a full 12-step program that's going to give me the freedom and the power that I seek. And I know I might be going on a little bit over, but am I to suggest the topic here for the open shares?
Please do, Bianca. Okay.
Thank you. I love you all. Okay. I'm going to take us to page 117. I'm going to read this for self. This is in the chapter 2, Wives. Right? If you find a solution for the pressing problem of drink, you are, of course, going to be very happy. But all problems will not be solved at once. Seed has started to sprout in a new soil. Growth has only begun. In spite of your newfound happiness, there will be ups and downs. Many old problems will still be with you. This is as it should be. The faith and sincerity of you and your fellows will be put to the test. Should be regarded, right? Respected, honored as part of your education, for thus you will be learning to live. You will make mistakes, but if you are in earnest, they will not drag you down. Instead, you will capitalize them. Remember those capitals, right? To honor the divinity, capitalize them, right? Capital M mistakes, right? Let's find the divinity and find the lesson. A better way of life will emerge when they are overcome. So I just wanted to maybe focus on that passage and ask, you know, how are you using this design for living, this program of action, steps 1 through 12, in your spiritual workouts? And I'll leave it there. I'm going to